Hi, welcome back to the 1 Samuel Audio Devotional Podcast. My name is Steve Durr. We're going to be reading 1 Samuel chapter 21 today. And just a brief reminder that Saul is king of Israel. He has been rejected by God. His dynasty has been rejected by God. And God has selected David to be the king. But he's not yet king. He's the son-in-law of Saul. And Saul is trying to kill David. And David is now on the run, leaving everything he loves behind. He's alone. He's empty-handed. He's desperate. So let's pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 21. David went to the town of Nob to see Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he saw him. "Why are you alone?" he asked. "Why is no one with you?" "The king has sent me on a private matter," David said. "He told me not to tell anyone why I am here. I have told my men where to meet me later. Now, what is there to eat? Give me 5 loaves of bread or anything else you have." "We don't have any regular bread," the priest replied. "But there is the holy bread, which you can have if your young men have not slept with any women recently." "Don't worry," David replied. "I never allow my men to be with women when we're on a campaign. And since they stay clean, even on ordinary trips, how much more on this one?" Since there was no other food available, the priest gave him the holy bread, the bread of the presence that was placed before the Lord in the tabernacle. It had just been replaced that day with fresh bread. Now Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's chief herdsman, was there that day, having been detained before the Lord. David asked Ahimelech, "Do you have any spear or sword? The king's business was so urgent that I didn't even have time to grab a weapon." "I only have the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the Valley of Elah," the priest replied. "It's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Take that if you want it, for there is nothing else here." "There is nothing like it," David replied. "Give it to me." So David escaped from Saul and went to King Achish of Gath. But the officers of Achish were unhappy about his being there. "Isn't this David, the king of the land?" they asked. "Isn't he the one the people honor with dances, singing, 'Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands'?" David heard these comments and was very afraid of what King Achish of Gath might do to him. So he pretended to be insane, scratching on doors, drooling down his beard. And finally, King Achish said to his men, "Must you bring me a madman? We already have enough of them around here. Why should I let someone like this be my guest?" All right, so here we go. Let's talk about fear. Not just the everyday kind, like being late for a meeting, forgetting someone's name, but real fear. The kind you can feel physically, that makes your heart race, that tells you you are completely alone. You are in trouble. You have no way out. This is it. You need help. David, the giant slayer, the future king, the warrior, he knew that kind of fear. But here's what's wild. When did David feel the fear most? It doesn't appear it took place when he faced Goliath as a younger man. As a younger man, he walked onto the battlefield with a sling, and he wasn't seemingly afraid. He was bold, confident, fearless, it seemed. And when he took Goliath down, he picked up that massive sword, the one Goliath himself used, and he used it to end Goliath's life, to end the fight, to secure victory. The whole world in that moment as a young man opened up in front of him. He was celebrated. People sang songs about him. Everything seemed to be falling into place. And then it all fell apart. David's father-in-law, King Saul, now he wants him dead. Imagine that. The man who once welcomed him into his home, gave him his daughter in marriage, called him son, now sees him as a threat. Saul's jealousy, Saul's anxiety, Saul's insecurity explodes into murderous obsession. And so David has to flee. David leaves everything behind. His wife, his closest friend, Jonathan, his home, his reputation, and he's a fugitive. He's on the run. So where does he go? He goes to the tabernacle. He's starving. He's got nothing to eat. So he asks the priest for food, any food. But the only bread available is the holy bread, the bread of the presence, literally the bread before the face of God. And it's something that he normally wouldn't get to eat. It's something for the priest to eat, but yet the priest give it to him and he eats it. And then he asks, "Do you have any weapons?" And the priest says, "We only have one, Goliath's sword." Wow, that sword, the one he first picked up as a victorious warrior, as a young man, the one that symbolized his rise, his success, his future. And now he picks it up again, But this time, he's running for his life. And the world doesn't seem to be opening up anymore. It feels more like it's closing in. And here's where it takes an unexpected turn. David doesn't go into the mountains yet or the wilderness. He leaves his country. He tries to get away from Saul by going to his own country's enemies, the Philistines, the people he's been battling. And he goes to Gath. Now, why is that significant? Gath is Goliath's hometown. Think about that. He walks into enemy territory carrying the sword of their greatest warrior who he took down. That's like walking into your rival team's stadium and planting your flag in the middle of their field. We know what happens then, right? Guess what? The Philistines recognize David. Hey, isn't this David? Isn't that the guy who killed thousands and thousands of us? The one they sing songs about? David panics and fear hits him like a tidal wave. And so what does he do? David acts like a madman. He scratches at doors. He drools on himself. He makes a fool of himself. And the Philistine king just says, get this lunatic out of my sight, right? And David, he runs again, and this time to a cave. Now, I want to just take a second here and think about what was going on in the heart and mind of David through this time. David, anointed to be king, a hero, warrior, leader, courageous guy, now hiding in a cave. And we'll hear more about that on Monday. But he's lost everything. He lost his home, his people. He's lost everything. He's brokenhearted. He's hurting. So what does he do? David, after this whole episode, writes a song, and it's in our Bible. It's Psalm 34. And listen to these couple verses in Psalm 34. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. David doesn't say, yeah, God's going to fix everything, no big deal. He admits something really powerful. I was broken. I was crushed. I was terrified. I needed help, and God was near. Now, there's the popular saying, faith over fear, right? And that means a lot of different things to different people. But when often it's kind of like, I trust God. I trust God in the midst of fear, over fear. I'm going to trust God. But let me ask you something. How do we learn to trust God? How do you know God's faithful? When do you experience his presence to learn he can be trusted? I found that it happens when fear hits. And fear isn't the enemy of faith. It's actually a gift. It makes us aware of danger. It reminds us that we need help. It motivates and moves us to reach out and get help. Now, when we minimize it, when we diminish it, when we try to pretend it's not there, we try to control it. Well, that's anxiety, right? And then we're trying to control the situation and keep fear away. And it makes it that much worse. But God-given fear reminds us, prompts us to ask for help. It's a gift. For some of us, that is our Goliath-sized fear, asking for help, admitting we need help and we can't pretend anymore and do it alone. That's our Goliath-sized fear. But that's exactly what David did. He asked for help. He cried out to God for help, and God saved him. And as we'll see moving forward, others came to answer his call as well. David's fear didn't destroy his faith. It actually built it. In the end, it wasn't faith over fear. It was faith emerging, forged from fear. So I want to ask you today, where are you feeling fear right now? If you are, you're in good company. David, a man after God's own heart, can relate. Where are you feeling fear right now? Is it possible that instead of pushing it down, pretending it's not there, you, like David, let it lead you to God? Let it lead you to admit it, to ask for help from God and from other people? Because David learned something as he reflected in that cave, something that changed him forever. Fear is real, but God is near. Let's pray. God, for all the fears that we have, we just take a second and recognize what is on the forefront of our mind, the fear on the forefront of our mind that we can feel today. And we just want to admit it. And we want to ask you for help. Would you rescue us? Would you help us? Would you save us? Would you encourage us? Would you bring help to us? And for some of us, God, the greatest fear is asking for help. Would you give us courage to ask? And as we do, build our faith. Free us, Lord, that we might come alongside others who need help. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.